based off of, it's being recorded. Perfect. Let's go ahead and come on. Slow. All right. So if you can talk this stuff, people are going to think you have an MBA. But this is a lot of this, a lot of these things that we picked up in business school. It's funny. At the time, I think a lot of people didn't spend a lot of time on this, or they didn't get much from it. But the key here is when you're reading this content, think of it as your business. So Michelle, you need to be thinking, okay, what are substitutes to image consulting, you know, for women that have certain issues? You know, you've got to think, okay, what are the substitutes? How easy is it to enter this industry? It's actually really easy. So you've got to think that, okay, there's competition. How can I set up a barrier? Where am I, you know, who's in a sense supplying me with what I need? And who in a sense is buying my product? So these are just frameworks. They've been around for a long time. They work, but they force you to think about problems before they become so big that they become a real bad, they go from being a nuisance to being actually, they could shut down your business. Because if you don't think about the threat of new entrants and you build your business on a house of cards, you're going to have a big issue here. So all this stuff here, it's based off Michael Porter. He was over at Harvard, really smart guy. And when you finish this, you should actually get sent to, I believe, a video. Now, this is a solid book. If you haven't read this, I think the article, did I post this? No, I posted it in another place, but it's based off an article that was put over, I think it was INSED School of Business. They wrote a whole book on it. But the idea is to create uncontested market space. Amazing. So shaping the game, not just play it. This is one of my favorites. So many people think when they come to a business, or into a, they have to play by the existing business model versus realizing that you can actually change the entire game. All right. So I'm going to unmute some of you guys because I want to be able to hear you if you've got questions. But let's go ahead and I'm going to pull in the tracker. So what we see here is that, Adam, you know, let your team know what's going on there. I would say, and you know, Dave, if for any reason you've been submitting things and they're not coming to me, please let me know. Don't forget, you don't even have to put a good answer, but you do need to try to knock through it. And I will be, you know, let's just say in the next 24 hours, I'm going to be closing down. I'm not going to let you guys do any more of task one. Like it's going to close down and we're going to award the team. I've been going through and looking at your answers on the quality. But I am going to say, guys, you need to get that done. And then module two, you need to be cooking through. So, you know, James, you want to reach out to your teammates. And it looks like Team Red, you guys need to, you know, pull together. And don't forget, you can divide this up. So Curtis, if you're knocking through this, and or Adam, if you want to make up for your team here, this may be a great place to say, hey, guys, I'm going to knock through hard with module two. You guys can coast here. So that's the kind of stuff that I want to see in the team effort. Does that make sense? All right. Yep. Okay, good. So, all right. So don't forget, next 24 hours, I'll be closing down module one. And you can go through there. Don't forget, you can just go through there and type in here, you know, put your basic info and just say, hey, Antonio, you know, just say Semper Fi, and I'll at least give you, you know, a thumbs up. I'm not going to give you full credit, but you guys know that word works magic on me. So that's what we've got with the course, gentlemen. Again, in the next 24 hours, going to be opening up Module 3, so don't fall behind. Because all this takes, the reason we're going through this is it's not about getting an MBA or you having, you know, it's about you having the language, the lexicon of business. Because you don't want to be in a meeting or you don't want to be talking to an investor and for him to say, well, did you do a five, you know, and you're asking for money. And if he asks, hey, well, did you do a Porter five forces analysis or something like that? You can at least say no versus wondering in the back of your mind, what the hell is that? And, you know, those are the kind of things I want to make sure. Or when you hear that, it's kind of like that hidden language that, you know, okay, this guy has a fancy, you know, degree, but I, you know, when it comes down to it, none of that matters because I'm making good money and, you know, I'm not so much, but this stuff isn't, I wouldn't have written this stuff up. I wouldn't have put it here if it hasn't served me well. One of the big differentiators I notice between what I do and what a lot of scrappers do, nothing against online scrappers, I love them, but a lot of online scrappers, and I mean that in a good way, they don't always see the big picture. And I want to make sure, again, that you guys aren't making mistakes now, which are going to cost you big 5 to 10 years down the line. Okay? All right, so that's enough for that. I'll step back out of it. Tom? Back to you.
Cool. Well, briefly, I don't want to dive into something that's not useful for you guys here just yet. One of the things I'd like to do is obviously go through the business model, go through the Lean Canvas piece, because that's kind of, for me, a focal point of every kind of project that I undertake, because that little one-page document can kind of show you all the places where it can kind of show you where you are not sure. So it can help you become aware of the things that aren't going to work in your with your business idea. But before I dive into that, what I would like to do is kind of do a quick round robin where each person takes the hot seat for about 2 minutes and does an update with what they're working on, if they've and then if you've had any big wins or if you have had any struggles this past week. And maybe, you know, again, if we can keep it to that to about 2 minutes, I think that would be great. And then if we want, we can circle back around to some people's particular issues. But if that sounds good, guys, I'd love to I'm just going to start alphabetically here. So, Adam, if you wouldn't mind, I know you've been doing a lot of travel, but would love to hear from you.
Yeah, so my big update is that I will have some more updates next time. Tonight I'm kind of battling down and writing some emails I have been putting off due to one thing or another, and we'll be reaching out to a lot of both potential customers to get insights from them, but then also to people that I've met through my travels as possible presenters for my online professional development that I want to do with teachers. That's kind of the gist, but then also putting together a landing page to kind of describe what I'm looking to do.
Perfect. And as you can see in the Lean Canvas there, and Adam's at that point where he has this idea of what he wants to do. It's related to education in some way, shape, or form. Right? And so one of the things he's doing is figuring out that customer segment, which is in the far right side, and the problem set, which is in the far left side. And so they're on different sides, but they're kind of like on the same coin, right? So it's on the same page. So it's figuring out who exactly, refining that customer segment, who is going to be that person that's going to buy from Adam. And we talked about that, you know, whether it's going to be teachers or it's going to be school officials or it's going to be, you know, up the ranks in the hierarchy of education department and all that. And then figure out exactly what that problem is that they're fighting, because at every level in education, there's a different challenge. There's a different struggle that teachers go through than that principals go through than, you know, than that more broader geographic, like, you know, education people go through at the higher levels, like zoning and stuff like that. So the point is, depending on what he's creating and who it's for, it's going to dictate the problem he's solving and then the solution he's going to propose. So, Adam, does that sound about right, what you've been going through right now?
Yeah, definitely. I'm specifically targeting the city of Chicago to start.
And who in the city of Chicago? Because that seems pretty broad.
Yeah, so I'm starting off between the decision makers and making my way down the trail of decision makers. So starting with Illinois State Board of Education and working my way down to some city officials and then confirming that with teachers.
Perfect. Okay, cool. BJ, would love to get an update from you. I know you've been traveling as well, but would love to hear how that's been going for you.
Sure, not a problem. Yeah, I just got back from a trip to Chicago, and Chicago's an awesome city. I think I was there 20 years ago, but I didn't appreciate it until now. Took a course that really opened my eyes to brewing. I've been doing it for a long time, but this was the true commercial brewing piece, and got some really good insight from industry managers. But I think the best part was that there are about 24 people in the course, and most of them were from the Chicago area, Michigan, and the other areas, Indiana, and I was able to go to their breweries and see what their setups were, what type of raw materials they were using, their equipment. And one of the nice things about the brewing industry is people are very open about helping each other out. So there's competition there, but it's an interesting dynamic between brewers because we're trying to make the industry better. So what I've been doing today, actually, and most of yesterday and today, is actually looking at trade magazines, which I was able to pick up from the course, and look at raw materials, cost of raw materials, start looking at some of the numbers, what's going to cost to brew at a certain level for a certain time, and then use that to kind of drive what size brewery I'm going to build. So it's really, really neat for me to see firsthand, and then kind of put that into raw materials, and then from that I'm going to actually go into exactly your lean canvas thing, which I think is fantastic. I was looking through it, and I think I've got some holes that I need to fill there.
Awesome.
That's what I've been doing.
Okay, great stuff. And I'm particularly interested. I think yours is going to be pretty fascinating. BJ, just to clarify, are you going to look for outside financing to get this off the ground, or are you going to be self-funding this?
I don't know. So right now, I have enough to self-finance a fairly small system, and I can expand. But I prefer not to do that. I prefer to actually get some outside financing, so I can go right into packaging. One of the things is most breweries don't do packaging because it's a bit capital intensive. But what I found is some of the things I learned here, that's going to be a market advantage that I will have, is that I do know logistics, and that getting into packaging and actually selling commercially is probably not a bad idea to do that early on. So I'm still kind of working on that. Right now I'm favoring getting outside financing to supplement what I'm going to put in myself.
Very cool. Okay, awesome. So that'll be an interesting problem set as well, and that's why I think it's going to be pretty interested to see what you do with that, which direction you end up going, because Antonio, actually, cool question. Have you ever taken financing for any type of business investment?
No, that's a great question. We'll actually cover in the finance section if we. One second, we're going to. We haven't talked about that. We'll talk about that in the finance section. We'll talk about venture capital. We'll talk about angel investors, and that's what I do when I go to the University of Texas Venture Lab Investment Competition, and we learn about businesses that take that. A lot of people think that they have to get money to start the company, and one thing I learned from Dell Computers is that you can finance the entire operation if you actually get paid first, and I think many businesses can go that route. However, if you are going to start, let's say, a medical device company, you probably do need, and it's going to be 3 years, 4 years till you exit or till you sell the product. Yeah, you're probably going to need an investment unless you can live off of your own savings, and depending on how much of the risk you want to absorb. Many people just don't want to risk quite a bit, and they're willing to take somebody else's money. But one thing I've learned about taking money is investors want to see you use the money to accelerate, not test out ideas. So, if you look at the what people that get funded on Shark Tank, and that's a good example of taking angel investing. It's not VC. VC's much more managed and a little bit more sophisticated, and they usually like to put about $2 to $3 million to work. Angel investors are going to be less than that, usually about a million or less. And that's more of they want to buy a job and be a part of it. So that's like what Mark Cuban does, or some like Damon John or some of these other ones. They're more just wanting to be a part of the journey. They don't really care. They're not going to actively be engaged. But it is, taking money is definitely something. It's a good option but you want to be in a position of power, and you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to be in that position where you're bent over a barrel and they're taking you for – basically they're getting more of your company than need be.
Great. Cool stuff. Brian, you're up, man. How are you?
I'm good. Let's see. This past weekend I was doing a lot of traveling, got to do a little bit of networking, with other entrepreneurs in the kind of like the service aspect of entrepreneurship. So they're not really selling products, but they are selling services. And I got to talk to them about doing a little bit more marketing. As far as what I've been doing for the past week, I've been looking more into content curation and working on the online course a little bit. Nothing real big to report as far as victories go, though. Just kind of in the trenches, you know, putting my head down and getting to work.
Good stuff. And now, weren't you working on some kind of course or something similar? Or am I confusing that? I thought you had mentioned something about some kind of course that you were building or intending to build.
Yes. I'm building an online course to teach people how to roll sushi. So yep. Right now, I'm talking with a couple of other chefs and a couple of people who are like managers of sushi bars to figure out, you know, what they're looking for when they want to hire a sushi chef, and then making sure I implement that into the course, as well as going through each little module to find out and to go a little bit more thorough with it. So right now I'm kind of at like a 10,000 view with all the like general ideas of each module. And so for the past week I've been diving into one module at a time, kind of fleshing it out a little bit more into like maybe like different units of each module, and then, you know, next week I'll be going into even further detail into each module. So I'm just trying to make sure I'm real thorough with it, and then at the very end I'm going to jump back out to the 10,000 foot view and see if I've included a little bit too much information to make it you know, consumable for the people that are enrolling in the course.
If I could make a suggestion, it might be a little uncomfortable for you, but one of the things I've done with a recent course that I'm getting ready to launch this end of this month, I did pre-orders for it. I pre-sold it back in November, I think, timeframe when I had the idea. And so I sold people on just the idea of it and for a discount. And so I had, right away, I had about, you know, 5 or 10 students who had basically had said, I have nothing built, but with your input, I'm going to build it. And then I did another pre-launch here a couple months ago where I said, hey, it's half built. This is what the direction is going. And I got another 10 people to opt in. And now when I'm getting ready to launch now, so I've used that revenue to kind of sustain operations while I do it. And then also get that invaluable feedback from real people on what they want. So I know right now you're really like going at it analytically. I think what might benefit you is if you can actually get real people inside your course paying you already, and then using their feedback to build it.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that idea a lot.
it also lights a fire under your backside when you've got somebody's money and you've got to deliver.
Yeah.
And you'll realize, I think the fire is a good point. So like one of the things too, I think you'll find is that you'll start discarding ideas that aren't core or essential.
Right.
And you'll be like forced to make those decisions, and it'll be the best thing for the course itself. It'll make your course sharper, more focused, more refined, more consumer focused. So it'll be the best thing for the actual students who go through it, because you won't diddle dip with like all these different ideas you have. You'll get straight to the point because, well, you'll be on a time crunch and you'll be committed to getting this thing up and out.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. And what was the course that you pre-sold? What was it about?
It's publishing. So it's publishersempire.com.
Okay.
If you want, let's talk offline, and I'll give you more details about how I did the pre-sell and everything like that, and show you what I did, and it might be useful for you.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you.
Cool. Dave, my man, Kindlepreneur, you're up.
Hey, how's it going? Antonio, can you bring up the link that I sent you? I was just going to kind of point out something I'm working on. My main focus is trying to, you know, combine the brand.
Real quick, Dave, sorry. I don't think you put a link in. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I've got it.
Private.
Oh, you got it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, 1 second.
Sorry.
So a lot of, like I said, is trying to focus on the branding aspect of my website, kind of making sure that it, you know, has its own flavor. I really want people to be able to come to it and immediately know that, you know, seeing the pictures from the posts and everything, that, oh, that's a Kindlepreneur product, or, yep, that's definitely, you know, a Dave design or something like that. So I've been working on that. The second thing, too, is that I actually started using, I'm just going to turn on my webcam here, maybe. And I found a company called Displate.com. So I've submitted some of my designs to them, and they create basically these metal, you know, these metal signs. So I've got the my motivation, which is shut up and start writing, using kind of the keep calm image, but it's
cool.
And I also started, I also created another one, and these are like metal plates, but this is also my free giveaway book. So I'm going to have those up on the wall. It will kind of be in the background as I shoot my video so people kind of see that. Kind of hoping to basically, again, push the idea that, you know, it's not some guy just sitting down on a computer hoping, you know, that the content is nice. But, you know, I have physical products. I've actually had a couple of sales, which is weird. Display, basically, you just upload your artwork and you can sell it for like $44. So people can buy it. And I just wanted it for myself, but I've had three sales and I haven't done anything with it. So it's kind of neat.
Nice. Yeah, man, it's just looking really good. I'm a little jealous of your design abilities. I think this looks really solid. I think it's got a cohesive look, and the content's really good. Obviously, I've seen people comment on it in the past Kindle group, so but I think it looks solid. Antonio, I don't know if you have any recommendations or feedback on this.
I liked how he passed this picture right here around on Facebook just in the last, like, 48 hours, and he got a lot of good reactions from it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it's looking good. So, and you said the way you're going to, I mean, I feel like you're at this point where you could, you know, I mean, not to rush anything, but I'm sure there's ways you can start monetizing. I know you said you had some success with your resources page. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. I think that'll be enlightening for everybody to listen to and kind of see how you did that.
Sure. So if you click on the resources page, the formatting isn't great right now. I've contracted somebody to kind of create a static formatting so that it will hold the information in place instead of, as you'll scroll down, you'll see. But I basically created my page. It's kind of mimicking Pat Flynn in the way that these are the tools that I use. And that my intentions are is instead of just saying, hey, click on, you know, like Judo, for example, which is a formatting software, what I'm going to do is offer that, you know, Judo is actually a program that's got its own settings. It's amazing what it can do, but the key is that you need to know how to use those amazing features. So I'm going to have videos showing how people use it, but then what I'm going to offer is that, you know, if you click on my affiliate link, which straight up this is what it is, and you send me, you know, your receipt showing that you purchased it, then I will send you my settings, you know, or something like that, you know, and it's basically you upload it so that you don't have to go through and change all these things. You can get the Kindle printer settings so that it's immediately just plug and play and hit and go forward. So I want to create a, you know, basically a product of flat out click on my affiliate link and I'm going to give you an incentive to use my affiliate link. So if somebody reads that and they're like, wow, that's a great tool, and then they're like a month later, they're like, okay, I'm ready to buy, they'll want to come back to my site, hit my affiliate link, because they know they'll get something extra out of me than, say, just going straight to Kindle Spy or whoever.
Cool. That looks great. And then, yeah, so I guess a quick thing to note that might be worthwhile for people listening, because, again, I think this is a kind of a very valuable learning point, is that right now, I don't know if you guys caught it, but Dave is working on essentially being an affiliate marketer for right now. And he, so his challenge in understanding that that's a different type of business than, say, a service-based business or a product-based business or something like Antonio's, where he sells his own products and stuff like that, right? So it's a slightly different way that you structure things. It's a different way that you pitch things. And so what Dave's doing is he's coming at this and looking at it and saying, how do I provide, like, the best quality content in the context of, like, reviewing various products for people who are interested in publishing Kindle. And then, so it's a lot more than reviews, but it's like providing credible reviews, credible information, and useful, applicable stuff that people can take that and say, okay, that's great, I love that information. I'm going to go buy this piece of software or this program because now that I've learned how to use it, now I want to use it, and I'm going to use Dave's affiliate link. So I think this is pretty cool because I know some of you might want to go this route or integrate it some way, shape, or form. But I think it's pretty cool that Dave's already gotten some traction here and gotten some sales through this stuff. So a good example of that. Anything else to add there, Dave?
No, yeah. I found that a lot of people aren't ready to buy. Like they're just searching for information, so that when they go to, you know, a resource or when they read a post, they're like, oh, that might be nice, you know. But they might not be sitting, you know, they might be sitting in traffic on their phone, or they might be at work where they don't feel good about putting their credit card into this work computer or something like that. And then they'll remember Kindle Spy, but they might not remember Dave Chesson, or the or they might not want to hunt down my post. So giving them that incentive, I think, is really key. It's worked for me. I know Pat Flynn's definitely got a lot of extra clicks for me because of that. So,
mm-hmm. Very cool. Awesome stuff. Okay. James, can you hear us and speak is the question. I know you're on.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little choppy, but I'm going to mute myself. Okay, go ahead.
How about now?
And now you're muted. Now you're good.
You, does this work? Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
I'm on my phone today. My computer, for some reason, is having an issue. But yeah, first of all, Dave, that is some awesome stuff. I'm not going to lie. Just sitting and watching where you're at was pretty cool, pretty inspiring, and to give me some stuff to model a little bit. So I just wanted to say good job, because that definitely got me fired up there. Let's see, over this last week's been pretty cool. I implemented Antonio's tool, the I Will Do This Today. And that's actually been maybe the highlight of my week, because one of the things I knocked out from that was creating this kind of guide to help outsource a lot of the website projects that I take on. And so what was really cool is I created that one day, and then last week essentially got one deal landed in a strong verbal on two website deals. So the timing of that was really great, just really excited to be able to take on these new projects and then use the tool I created. So let's see, what else kind of was a highlight from last week? The two deals landed was definitely pretty big. And lastly, Tom, I had a great call with you. I went and updated the Lean Canvas, and my sticking point on that is simply at this point is just kind of defining a true the value proposition, the unique value proposition. That's been a little bit difficult to try to shape that up, but that's where I'm at this week checking in today.
Good stuff. Okay, cool. Antonio, any feedback for James real quick?
I just love that he's using this, and I haven't seen too many of you guys on there. I'm trying. I've got a few other people in here, but you know, it's pretty simple. You just pop in, you prioritize, you put down what's important, you commit, you're specific, and you keep it simple. And that's all it is. And you know, there's not a whole lot of people seeing this right now, but I can tell you by actually typing out and thinking about, yeah, I got to get this done, you actually do get it done, because it's that little bit of a, you know, you making that commitment that you're going to do something, and you come in here and there's a few other people, and I'm jumping in here and trying to respond to people, but it, a small thing. And I love how we've already got people, you know, using this and seeing results.
Yeah, it's awesome. And what I didn't mention too is Antonio, so with these deals landed, I now basically have the ability to travel on up to New Media Expo if that's still available. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. You know, I don't. So the unfortunate thing about New Media Expo is I don't think they've got any type of military track this year. I don't know about it. I find that this year has been the most unorganized I've ever seen this conference, and it's a bit disheartening. Running my own conference, I find it a little bit frustrating. But I would say come out. I'm there. Mike's there. Worst case, I've got room on my floor. So I've already opened it up to, you know, I figure if any vets slept on worse than a hotel, well, maybe not. I got a nice hotel room. So, but there are some rooms at Circus I would not recommend anyone sleep on. But the ones that I have the hotel right next to the actual event, and I'm there for about, I arrive on the 10th and I leave on the 17th. So I'm just, you know, give me a call, give me a message. And, you know, I'm also going to go up to the front. And I know Joe, I'm going to try to, you know, we're going to work to try to get a military discount because Rick usually has something like that. So
that's awesome. I actually think lodging won't necessarily be as big as an issue. Might have some family connections there, just the ticket itself to the event.
All right. We'll try to find a way. We'll try to find a discount. So
that's awesome. Cool. So I'll follow up offline with that. Thank you.
All right, who do we got next? Tom, you out there still? All right, I think John. John, how are you doing? John Stroud?
Oh, there we go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah.
There we go. I'm alive.
Good. Haven't heard from you for a while, so how was the home inspection business, and how have things developed over the last month?
Last month has been pretty busy. I hit my my highest high, 25 inspections this month. So it's been nonstop.
How has it been with thinking of ways to increase the average sale and attract the ideal customer?
That's actually been better. I actually hired a call center to start answering the phones for me, and they've been upselling me quite a bit.
Awesome.
So I think that helps out a lot too.
So
it gives me more time to actually do my job as opposed to answering the phones in a crawl space.
So really quick, I don't think you've been here to meet a lot of the new members, but I'll give a quick intro for you, John. So John is the Wynn Home Inspector over in South Carolina or North Carolina?
North Carolina.
I always get those darn Carolinas confused, but but you have the entire state, and you're the only home inspector with Wynn out there, and
yeah.
The goal has been for him to, I mean, he's doing good. He was already hit when he came in the program. He already was getting quite a few sales, but one of the things we've tried to focus on and push is actually increasing the average, basically the average sale. So that he doesn't necessarily, because there is a limit to the number of inspections that he can do in a month. But if you
get that
average number up and they're the perfect customer, then that's the way to go. So cool. tell me about this Wynn, this call center.
Well, I first heard about it at the, we had our conference, our annual conference in January. And it's another guy that's doing like, at least over $500,000 a year uses them too, and he says he swears by them because obviously you get more time by yourself and not have to worry about organizing the inspections and trying to figure out what date works for you, what day works for them, and calling them back and following up because they do all of that, so you just focus on the job. And I think it works really well, and they upsell you like all my ancillary services, like radon, water quality, and stuff like that. Stuff that I typically would forget, and I just run with that. And I think it helps out quite a bit.
Can you talk a little bit about how they're preventing you from getting the wrong type of customers?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure how they're preventing me from getting the wrong. As far as
Is there like a certain number that like, hey, you don't negotiate on price, you don't go below this, they've got to have a house that is, you know, no older than this?
I don't really have a age limit. I think the oldest house I've done was like 125 years old. But as far as that goes, they definitely cut back on the price shoppers because I'm not going to be the cheapest guy around, and I'm okay with that. So they know that, and they're like, we're not going to go down and under any certain level, but I always give military discounts, so it does kind of balance out a little bit, because I obviously was prior military, so I appreciate everybody in the military, and I always try to boost that, but as far as price shoppers go, they definitely cut that down, and I think that was a biggest issue with that was I was working with Home Advisor, and they're all about price shoppers, so I just kind of cut them out. I've gotten a couple off of them, but
How about instead of a military discount, John, you give a military bonus?
That sounds good.
I mean, offer the same price, but say, hey guys, for you, I've got something extra that I bring and I deliver. And, you know, you keep your mark. Cause what are you giving, like a 10 or 20% discount?
It's $25 off.
So, you know, what, $25 off is cool. But if you actually bring in, it's like, hey guys, I got a cool thing for you. What if you brought in some really cool collector coins or something? I don't know. You know, you can find out what, but I know.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it's like you give them these hand coins and you tell them the story behind it. This is the unit you were with. And, you know, this is all this. And this is from one vet to another. You know, make sure to take this with you when you go get drinks at a bar. You can challenge another vet and get a free drink off them if they don't. At least we do that in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We do that too. And I got a bunch of coins, but I don't know. I think I'd have to make it more towards myself, because essentially, like you were saying a while ago, to expand away from the franchise, make it more personal.
But think about that, because if they got that coin, they're always going to remember you. It's like they're going to remember you 5 years later.
Yeah, I think that's a cool idea. I like that.
Boom. All right. Boom. All right. I love it. Well, John, let's go ahead and we're going to move on to tonight. I would like, if you've got some time, I think we're going to put you in the hot seat because you haven't been here for a while. But let's go ahead and let's talk to Mark.
Hey guys, I've been working on my outline for the book, and that's almost complete. I'm also working on chapter outlines at the same time, and writing content on various, you know, events that happen that are going to be in the book. I got my website done today. Not done, but set up. With WordPress, and I got lead pages connected to it and MailChimp. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Great. I loved. Now, what about passing? I mean, the presentation was powerful, and I think that's a great place to start. It's the skeleton and being able to I think I mentioned it last time, but seeing that fatality marked on there. And was your son still in there when they marked that?
No, he had already been extricated.
Okay. But so for them, it was like, but it was believed that, hey, this somebody wasn't going to make it, or?
Right. When they pulled him out, they thought there was no way that a 3.5-year-old was going to survive. You know, his brain was just so damaged and his respirations were so low that they didn't think, you know, he was going to survive.
Yeah, that's the fact that I think what you should be looking for is where people emotionally strike with that presentation and what we remember, because those are the parts that you want to not cut and realize that that's what people are going to remember and going to grab onto.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, just jumping in. Mark, I think that's awesome, and I think you're already on point there, because I was talking to Mark last week about this, and Antonio, we were kind of focusing in on that exactly, what you just said, trying to capture, like, I think the most poignant moments, keeping the book sharp and focused, and then using that as kind of a platform builder for everything else that he's going to do from here on out once this thing launches, but also with the possibility of pulling stuff from that book, using it as blog posts or potentially a podcast, and a bunch of other ways to essentially promote the content. But that's the general idea, at least. And I think Mark is definitely on point in getting there.
Are you good?
Yeah, can you hear me, Mark?
Yeah, I can. I had a quick question, maybe for both of you. When the project's done and we're going to launch, do you think using that video or some facsimile thereof and posting it somewhere, YouTube, and using it to try to get some traction from another angle?
Which video? Or are you talking the slideshow that you created?
the slide presentation or a recording of when I do it live.
Yep. So I would recommend real quick. One is I would take the slides that you have, and I would say before you I would not release them as is, but to re-engineer them to essentially work with the book a little bit better. So you'd have to tweak them a little bit, but then you could post them on something like SlideShare, which is a massive like slideshow presentation sharing point. Okay. And a lot of entrepreneurs and business people use it, but I think there's room for something like this that's kind of a compelling message that anybody can kind of hook onto. One, that's one option to actually promote. And there are dozens of other sites like that out there. So if you just do the presentation, I would just say you'd have to tweak it slightly. And then definitely, yes, use platforms like SlideShare. And it looks like Michelle said secondfirst.com. Okay, yeah, okay, cool, as like another outlet. Yeah, so the point is if you do something like that, and then if you do a video, of course, you could potentially try to leverage YouTube and stuff like that, which we can get into more detail with later. Sure. As well, if you're interested.
All right, yep, thanks.
Cool, great stuff, Mark. Excited to see this come together.
Me too.
All right, Michelle, you are on the hot seat. How has everything been going?
It has been going. Been concentrating mainly on content. My main focus now is list building. I have no list, so that's where all my concentration has been. I have a drop dead date, hopefully I make it, of May 1st or somewhere in that first week of starting to do my weekly blogs and videos. I have 10 great questions already that my target audience has, or my avatar has given me concerns they have. So I've been spending time writing and found out after writing my first three, I have someone that reads over and edits for me, checks for errors and stuff, and they said, you need to come up with a format that you're going to always use, which I didn't even think about, and they pointed me to like Marie Forleo and people like that, where there's a format to how every video and how every blog goes, and I didn't have that, and so I'm kind of all over the place sometimes. So that's one thing. And then the other question she asked me is, where's your call to action? And I was like, duh. So I realized I didn't have a call to action at the end. And I do know that my call to action will be, I really like Amy Porterfield, who says, she talks about going over to her site and getting a cheat sheet or guide. And what it is, especially doing what I do, it's great. A lot of times people don't have time to write things down. And if that sheet's already there with them, with the links and the information and the steps already there for them, then that leads them over to my page to download that sheet.
Good stuff. So now my challenge question for you is, so you're working on the content, you're improving that, you're working on creating what will be called in the publishing world actually a style guide, which is to say that there's a certain way that information should be presented consistently across different articles, for example, or in a book, that like the whole book is makes sense, or if you're doing a series of magazines, they use a style guide to make sure each magazine isn't just randomly generated but follows the same structure. So that's a quick note to everybody else here, that's a really smart thing to kind of figure out as you go. If you don't have one, is to figure out what type of articles are going to look like, how you're going to do graphics and so on and so forth. And you don't have to have that figured out right away, but you can kind of move into that as you experiment. But that's important. That'll be helpful as you start to grow and scale, because if you're going to want to hire people to do some of that stuff, you're going to need very specific style guides, very specific a structure for what you do. And John's not here, but I'm sure he would agree that the way he was able to scale Entrepreneur on Fire so quickly was because right from the get-go, he figured out what the systems and processes were and was very precise about it and was able to hire people to then do those jobs. So that's another added benefit of kind of getting that style guide together. But I will say this. So now my question is, Michelle, that long-winded way of asking, how are you reaching out to people? How are you promoting these blog posts? How are you promoting this content?
I haven't yet, and that's the other piece. It's like, where do I find time? But anyway, I know when I'm ready to go in May, I need to have some lead pages too, and I need to, I have been verbally talking to everyone I know that this is coming, and I will be sending out an email blast to everyone I know and just kind of talking it up and telling them to just basically send it out to your people. And I've just, like I said, I've been doing it by word of mouth, everyone I've been talking to. But I know that I need to have the tools in place, and I'm going to have to do a Dave and get up 3 o'clock in the morning or something.
Well, I will say that part of your job right now, Michelle, is content, yes, is important. You want to get good content, but you need to actually test that content out. So you're a big piece of what you do, but you have to figure it out some way, shape, or form to promote this stuff and to start getting used to sharing this in certain channels so that you can actually get traffic, so that you can get feedback, and you can find out if people opt in or not. So that needs to be a part of your content creation strategy. It's kind of a promotion strategy that goes hand in hand with it.
Okay.
And I know that's tough, and I know it's going to be uncomfortable, but trust me, like, it's the only way you'll get traction. So if you want specific like tactics on how to do that, let me know. I'm sure
I was
going
to say you're going to have to feed me the spoon or something, because I'm looking at this screen like yeah.
Actually, Antonio, quick question. When you were just starting Real Men Real Style, what was the best way for you to get content out there? How was the best way for you to actually promote what you were creating?
Okay. So,
can you hear me, Antonio?
Yep. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So when I started in 2007, 2008, it was a different landscape, and there wasn't as much great content out there. So I focused in on creating the best. As I've said before, you know, it's either you need to be first, fabulous, or you're fucked. So at the time, I was the first, and I was also pretty darn good. So that combination there was my angle. I still think that, Michelle, in your area, we went through this by being specific and addressing the problems of your target market, of your avatar, and talking about the fat that's under her arms and how to deal with that, talking about the fat that rolls over that C-section scar and how to deal with that. That right there, two powerful posts, which if you don't hold back and you really deliver the goods, you know, people are going to be, wow, this woman knows how to address the issues which I've been facing, and no one has provided me solid content.
And just to let you know, that is, like I said, I've actually been reaching out, and I've gotten like 10 great questions like that. Those two and just other questions.
So
I did test it out, because one of the ladies who gave me the question, I had already researched the answer, and I started giving her the answers back. And she says, oh, my gosh, you're so smart. I would have never thought of that. And I'm thinking to myself, should I tell her I just looked it up? But, you know.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So don't, you know, you did research
I
on that.
I did.
And you know this. So it sounds like you're following some great people. Amy Porterfield, Marie Forleo, both great. I love what they do. But I would worry, you just need to have your 10 core pieces of content, your 10 amazing articles. And they don't need to, you know, maybe 3 or 4 of them should be about, in general, what do you stand for and your basis. But I would say 7 to 6 out of those articles can be that you addressing those specific issues. So when a 25-year-old woman who's never had children and is in the best shape of her life finds your website, she realizes she's probably in the wrong place, because the issues you talk about are ones that she doesn't – they're not her pain points. But –
okay.
You talked about building your list. So if you have those 10 amazing articles, then guess what? Though it's cool for me to send an email to my list, because 15% of my list are women who simply can't find style advice anywhere else that they like. So they're on my list. And most of the, about half the guys on my list are married. And I get that email every single week, sometimes multiple times a week. Hey, can you suggest something, a blog like yours for my wife? And so if you've got this, if you're going to do, let's say, a free webinar, you're going to have a 1 hour in which you just go over how to deal with the 7 most common problems that women over 40 face when wanting to look good and feel sexy, then that's going to, all of a sudden you're giving away an hour of free content, and you can really, everyone that shows up to that, by the way, can get on your email list. And if you had a product, even if it's just consulting one-on-one, you can pitch that at the end.
Okay.
But that's a very
effective. I like that title, by the way.
Steal it.
I'm now, stealing.
Yes. I think that, again, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Look at what's working right now. So you need to go to Lead Pages, and Lead Pages is really big on basically sending traffic, other people's lists, to an opt-in to a free live webinar, and you deliver 45 minutes of solid content, and then the last 10 minutes, hey, you've got, you know, why is it worth somebody, you know, spending their time and resources with you? Well, because you deliver the goods and you help them. You know, you do a Skype call, you do a Skype wardrobe consultation. I don't know what your offer is going to be, but worst case, you don't sell any, but you've built up your email list by 100 emails.
Okay. You are taping this, right? Because I can't write all this down.
It says it's being recorded, but we've had issues with it not recording in the past, so I'll try to make sure it records this time.
Cool. Any other questions, Michelle?
I did have another one. The main, well, I think he answered it. No, I'm good. It's just, how do you find the time?
You don't find it, you make it. So you've got to cut out things that are not a priority. I mean, it's tough, and I know, but you've got to look at where are you draining time, and where can you salvage? Where can you get, you know, an extra 3 hours a week, and be ruthless? You know, when you get on the phone with people, let them know in advance. Hey, you know, schedule a time and hold yourself to that appointment, even if it's an appointment with yourself. You have to excuse yourself from this phone call. You have an appointment. It's with yourself, but you have an appointment.
That's good. That's gold right there. Everybody write that down. Cool. Good stuff. Hey, Raphael, you're up, man. I'm excited to hear from you. How's everything been going?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. Hey, everybody's pretty much leaps and bounds from where I am. Actually, the last week I've been pretty busy on my personal side, my hobby, which I'm hoping to develop some kind of business out of, and that's ballroom dancing. So I've actually had a test for 2 dance partners to do competitions later on in the fall. So, I mean, I've been busy with that, and then still trying to do the coursework, and then also think about how can I develop this into, you know, my hobby, something I like doing on my pastime, into a business. And I've spoken to Tom a few times about possibly doing it, something about trying to link up dance teachers with people who first-time dancers, and like having lessons done either at their homes or in a location outside of dance studios, because nowadays people, they want to dance, they want to have this, you know, physical activity, but they don't have the time, or it's tough, or very expensive to do lessons at a school. I've actually been researching some of the big chain dance studios like Arthur Murray, Fred Astaire, and those very popular in the United States. Just trying to see how they run their businesses and what the prices they charge. Actually, I was in New York 2 weeks ago on leave, and I went to some local dance studios just to kind of see their programs that they have, and also what kind of pricings that they have. just to kind of get background information, because my experience, of course, is only in Europe or in Italy, because I haven't been back in the States for a while, so just trying to get some background information. I was also thinking if I could actually, think about maybe doing a blog, since I am a relatively new to the whole dancing world and competitions and stuff like that, if I should develop a blog to kind of like give my story of how I started dancing and then also how to help this develop a business out of this.
Cool. So I think this is important though, because Rafa, I mean, even if you think you're far behind, I don't think that's the case. Obviously people are at different levels and everybody has different objectives here. I mean, we were talking, you know, BJ is going to be starting a brewery, you know, and he's going to be focusing on the distribution piece of it. Like, I mean, that's, you know, completely different than what Dave's doing with Kindlepreneur, and that, which is also a different business model than what Michelle's working on, and Mark is working on a book. So everybody's working on different things here. Mm-hmm. And so that just, you know, I think one is understanding that this is just, it's going to be different. And so therefore, yeah, you're going to be at a different kind of point and stage because of that. But I think what's important is that you have, you've started to, can you guys see my screen all right? Can you show my screen at all?
No. It just says Thursday evening meeting.
Interesting. I'm trying to share my screen, but that's all right. So anyway, so if you look at, if you guys have the Lean Canvas in front of you, you have your customer segments, and it's about identifying your target customer. So right now, you're starting from there, which is good. From there and from the problem that they have, which is on the other side of the Lean Canvas. And so if you can identify who the customer segment is, so say it's dancers, people interested in ballroom dance, and you can identify their three problems, and you can provide a solution that right now you have enough to start kind of building out the rest of this model, right? So that's kind of what you have to get clear on, is who are the customers you're speaking to? Is it dancers, or is it teachers, or maybe it's a combination of both? Again, if you're building a platform, so if you're building a platform like that connects people, then it's, you know, it's kind of like Etsy. You know, Etsy isn't just consumer focused; it's producer focused as well, or at least it was. It was, how do we get, you know, people who can create nice artistic things and sell them online, and then the consumer was, how do I get artisan crafted materials, right? So they built a platform, and that worked. And Facebook does it in a different way, right? So that the consumer is, you know, you and I, and then the ads that are in our news feed all the time, that's the other side, that's the other facing piece of it, of their business. So how do they keep both in line congruently? So the point is, coming back to yours, if your customer segment then is that the target customers would be dancers and instructors. And so the problem of each would be that you'd have to define the individual problem for each. For the dancer, it might be, I can't find a good, or I'm too scared to go to do dance in public. I'd rather start in my house. Yeah. And then the teacher, the struggle can be, well, I just don't have enough clients right now. Yeah. And if you can find that that's what matches up, then you can provide that solution, and then you can start working through the rest of this canvas. And so I think that's where you're at. I actually think you're a lot closer than you think. You just need to start getting kind of more fidelity on the idea and start bringing it on people.
The whole Lean Canvas, was that briefed in a previous meeting or?
No, it's it's in module 2. It's in business. It is business models. And so if you go through module 2.
Okay, that's probably the one that I kind of skipped then, because I did all the other ones except that one.
If you make me the presenter, I'll show my screen.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, I will do that right now. I don't know why my screen isn't showing. Okay, so change presenter to Antonio. Have I sent it? Have you been made the presenter, Antonio?
Looks like it's, let me see, share my webcam.
Interesting. Audio screen.
Let me see what I
can do. Nice sweater, Antonio.
Thanks. Yes, one of my Aaron sweaters. They finally paid their bill. Took them a while. At least I had $600 in sweaters from them. Okay. Well, really quick, while we're trying to figure out the screen thing.
I'm so excited about that.
stuff. Make present.
I'm like kind of a party giveaway.
Hey, can you hear me, Raphael? Really quick, yeah, I wanted to. So why do people dance?
It's a kind of a stress reliever. Some people, I think everybody has an innate. They want to have. They like beats. They have. I mean, something that's natural, I think, almost natural for most people.
It's a little bit different environment, but whenever I go to a country Western bar, most people aren't dancing. There's only a few guys out there. There's a lot of ladies, but only
a lot of ladies do dance. They want to dance, but guys don't know how to dance.
So they don't dance because they don't know how?
Basically, they don't know how, yeah.
So why don't they learn if there's so many ladies out there?
Well, it's kind of the whole mentality of guys sometimes not wanting they're afraid to go out and take lessons. They don't have the time to go take lessons.
So I go out a lot. We were in Phoenix, and this will be the same thing in Atlanta, and this will be the same thing every time I go somewhere with Ryan Masters. That guy gets a taxi. And instead of sleeping at night, he goes country western dancing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he just goes out there and has a great time. Now, he couldn't dance 2 years ago. And he just simply said, I want to learn to do something new. And he learned, he took lessons, and he said for the first few months, he wasn't that great. But he would go to lessons 3 times a week, and he just he got better and better. And now he competes at competitions. And the guy he's got an entire system and in fact, I was talking with Tracy and Ryan were having dinner of Wishlist member, and he broke out his system for going into a club, not knowing a single person, and by the end of it, having danced with like 30 different women and having a great time and having other people pat him on the back saying, man, you're really good. I mean, and then he walks out and he has a good time.
Sound like kind of me, because I mean, I've never danced in my life until probably 2 years ago.
So if you think about it, you know, I don't think you need to teach men exactly how to dance. I think you need to get to motivate them with the benefit and then get them to overcome the fear. Of one thing, Ryan's really good, but he still gets rejected. You know, it's still, and for him, it's like, well, that's just, I mean, I expect it. You know, he's just going to have people, and he realizes it. He's even got a saying, you know, he knows that oftentimes they don't know if I'm a good dancer. They don't know me. They maybe don't want to dance. You know, and it was interesting to hear how he's got a whole system for this. But I would say that, there's an opportunity there, but what's if you were to go through some of the analysis, what's the problem with your market?
I'm not sure if there is a substantial market for it.
Exactly. And or what are they willing to pay?
Hello?
Yeah, what do you think they're willing to pay for this type of service?
Where it would have to be less expensive than what they charge at a dance studio, or more than what they could buy on a DVD. Say that they buy, those lessons you buy on DVDs.
So you want to just go straight online? You wouldn't even have a physical location?
No, the thing would be to find teachers who can link up with the my idea would be to have teachers link up with the students at a predetermined location. I don't live in the States, so it's not like I have a dance studio to open or start with.
All right. Oh, no. And 1 second. Sorry, cool. Guys. Hey, I just shared. Yeah, no worries. Let me know, Raphael, if you want to connect with Ryan Masters. He's actually going to build a business out like this, but he's focused on country western, and he does, you know, it's one of those things that seeing somebody do this in another niche, and he's just going to have fun with it. So I can make that connection. And for everyone else, I released an article creation checklist. If you have a second, check it out. So this is what we use to write articles over at one of my websites.
Hey, Antonio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely be interested in linking up with Brian Masters. I don't know country, but I do ballroom type or Latin American type dancing, so it would be a different aspect to the whole dancing.
Cool. Idea. Just send me the email, and I'll forward your email onto Ryan. So.
Okay.
Perfect. All right, we want to put something on the hot seat.
And I'm looking at your checklist, Antonio. So that actually, I think that's everybody that we've had here. So we're at an hour and 10 minutes into this call. I guess what I'd like to do since we...
John that we're going to put John on the hot seat, so...
Yeah, let's go back to John then. That makes sense. John, can you hear us?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, great. Antonio, anything in particular you want to ask John about?
No, I just would like to hear more about this. It sounds like he implemented a process, and so I'd like to hear a little bit about the cost and the return on investment that he's seeing and some specific examples so that he could optimize this win.
Okay, so it's $20 a call, and it only charges if I get locked down. Like if it's actually scheduled, then that's the only time I would actually get charged. As far as optimizing,
what percentage of people cancel?
It's very low.
Okay. Maybe, good.
Maybe 10, maybe 5-10%.
Okay.
Maybe.
Are they giving you more leads than you can handle, or is it still like it's only getting you about 20 a month, 25 a month?
I don't know. They don't tell me the ones that are missed and that they don't follow up. So I don't know if I'm missing any. I'm not sure. The only ones I know is the ones that are actually solidified and roll through.
Are they local?
No, they're out of, like, Tennessee, I think.
Okay, so they are American. Good.
Yep.
So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're very, very sweet women. There's about five of them that they kind of rotate throughout the week, and it's about answer the phones. They start answering the phones at 8 and at 7 p.m. my time, so it works well.
What has been the how long have you been using them, and what's the reaction of your customers?
I've been using them about a month and a half, and it took a little bit to actually kind of, like a better word, train the realtors to be like, oh, I have to talk to them now. I'm not talking to John the whole time. And I think it that does kind of take away from the personalization of it. But then on the other hand, I think it's way more streamlined because they can just tell them exactly the facts, and they can follow up with credit card information to be able to process that if they're not around. And I can always tell them, hey, do this. And they're actually doing some of my secretarial work for me too, so kind of pulling that off on them without charging me.
Great. Now, can they increase? Like, are they just answering the phones, or can they increase the number of calls of qualified leads you get?
They don't really call out very much, but they do. They do specialize in home inspections, so that kind of helps out. So they know the business and they know how to upsell us as far as like radon. Radon specifically is kind of like a hit and miss area. I think I've had like maybe one that actually read higher, so it's really free money to me. But in some areas, it's a concern. But, I mean, to me, it's like okay, I'm going to go out there and put this machine out there and, you know, collect $100. So it kind of helps out when they're like, yeah, you should probably, when they say to the client, yeah, you should probably do this or at least look into this at this website. And a lot of clients are just like, oh, man, I definitely should do that because I don't want to have to spend $2,000 to $5,000 on a mitigation machine as opposed to $100 right now.
Exactly.
So it kind of works out both ways.
So for you, it's simply a matter of increasing the number of phone calls coming in and...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let me... What about... Have you spoken to the maybe the founder of this company, or do you know who the owner is?
Oh, yeah. His name is Tom. Her name is Diane. They're out of Washington State. Very nice people.
Have you thought about maybe asking them some questions about, hey, you know, in your time doing this, do you see where I can optimize or services that I should be offering that I need?
Hmm. Yeah, I could do something like that. I'm not really sure without exhausting the market. I mean, I try to add on stuff like pool inspections, spa inspections, but I really don't like doing those because there's just a lot more work to it, so I kind of charge higher than anybody's really wants to pay. So if they end up wanting to pay for it, then I get the, it's kind of like I said before, free money. But it's like liability for pool inspections are a little bit more tricky. So it's kind of like another ancillary service that I can sell or I can't. It doesn't matter. But I have started to do septic inspections, which is a pretty easy test. So that kind of upsells me. Like I said, radon and then water quality testing. Just kind of looking around, doing basic stuff. They just started doing these roof inspection things, which is like $150 just to go out there and write a report about a roof, which takes about an hour. So that's another upsell one that I can do really on my own that the call center doesn't have anything to do with.
You've been in business for over a year, right?
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half now.
So you've got over 200 clients that never had the opportunity to be upsold. Have you thought about having them reach out just to let them know that you just wanted to check in, see if everything's okay, and, you know, let them know that your business has even expanded and that you're doing these type of inspections, and that if any time they need it, you can give them, you know, the grandfather them in at the old price?
Yeah, I could do that. That's not a bad idea. I do have like it's a service kind of like MailChimp, but only not. So I have all my emails and everything that I could just push it back through, like mold inspections. So I just started doing that this year too. So
yeah, and provide, if you're going to go email, provide value. I mean, literally write out, hey, you know, this is what you want to be looking for. I mean, of course, you got to be careful of liability.
Yeah.
But you actually saying, hey, guys, if you want, I'll mail you like a paper, like I've written out a 5-page report. It costs you 50 cents, but they're getting a physical piece and you're reigniting that lead. You know, people just don't get much in letters. So it can be, hey, you know, anytime you can reach back and touch an existing customer who already has paid you once and likes you, that's going to be a lot easier. You get them something written, they can pass it on to their brother. And it's got your logo and stuff right on there, and you become the authority.
Yeah, that's pretty good too. Maybe I can reach back out and throw some coins in there too.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Anything, so, Tom? What do you got?
Yeah, no, I'm curious. You know, I guess as I'm listening, I'm like, this is really cool because I think the idea of getting this call center on board to facilitate that process for you is awesome. At the stage you're at, is kind of a no-brainer. But then the second thing that comes to mind is, that's one piece of like, sort of like outsourcing or automating one piece of your business. I'm curious though, I know we had talked about this before and I don't know if you want to go this route, but I almost feel like there's the potential for you to eventually just be the it will really start your own agency or something equivalent, where if you can manage other contractors and you just take your cut. And I know that would be essentially it's an entirely different business model and might go a direction you wouldn't want it to. But if you had these people taking the calls and then if you could then pass them off to other inspectors and just take a cut in the middle, I don't see why you couldn't just expand that throughout the state and throughout multiple states. I mean, I know it's a lot harder than it sounds, but I'm just curious if that's crossed your mind at all.
Yeah, I remember we had talked about that a while ago, and I think the biggest thing with that is I don't want to discredit what I've built up so far. The reason they don't have inspections is because they're not good. So me throwing them a bone or something is going to be like, well, I'm going to give you this inspection. I'm going to take my cut, and then you're going to do crappy work, and then it's going to be back under my name. So that's the thing that's kind of been holding me back on that.
Yeah. I guess, Antonio, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, because you've had employees. I can't say that I have. And so I guess I can't speak to that directly, although I think that that's something you could. I know that's kind of the you work with employees.
I'm just wondering about, like, the calls that they're not being able to convert. Is it something that they talk to them anyway? Can they refer them to, they know that this person's not going to buy from you, that they're obviously maybe a price shopper, or that this person is just for some reason you don't fit their need. Do you have maybe two or three people that you would just recommend, hey, these guys are some people view them as my competition, but I think that there's just a better fit for you maybe over at this company. Would you?
Yeah, I got a couple of those in both areas. Like I do between Fayetteville and Raleigh, and that's like an hour and a half away. So I have a competitor in Raleigh that I always recommend when I'm too busy, and I work with him part of the we're both part of the Women's Council of Realtors up in Raleigh, and he's pretty trustworthy. And I got another guy down in Fayetteville that I kind of, if I get too busy, I'll throw him some too. But I just do it as a courtesy thing right now.
Maybe you could put it in part of their script at the end. Well, hey, I don't want you to leave here empty-handed. Let me give you two recommendations. They may be a little bit out of your way, but these are two other guys you should consider. Can they make a custom script for you? I'm just thinking that the thing is you're throwing out the reciprocity, and in a sense, the person leaving is like, wow, this guy, he's looking out for my best interests at the end of it. He's not even, he's making my life easier.
Right. And I like the integrity of that. I think it feels good.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't get anything from you, but whenever they have somebody else that they hear needs a home inspection, it's like, oh, call that Wynn guy, because even if you don't use him, he'll pass you on to somebody that'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Concurred.
So when we started talking about 6 months ago, you had your ideal customer. You were talking about like areas that you could go. Who now is your avatar, John? Who specifically have you been finding is your perfect customer?
Ooh, that's a good question. Somebody that wants to take care of the entire thing all at once. Because recently I got, okay, here's an example. I got one the other day. I got one last week. Small house, probably about 1,500 square feet. So that's easy. That's a 2 to 3 hour job for about $350. Then they added on, they wanted a sewer test, and they want water quality test, and they want radon test. So just out of nowhere, that three hour job turned into $700, so it literally doubled, and I don't have to do any real extra work besides go pick up a test. So that would probably be my ideal perfect client with a house under 25 years old. That'd be perfect.
So, whenever you've got your call center, I mean, if you could double the amount of calls coming in, and if your call center could be a little bit more picky in terms of who you want to work with and the questions that they're asking, ideally, couldn't they pick up a few more of these ideal, like who you know, basically they have small houses, they're within a certain range and distance, so you know you can like put it all together, and they're interested in possibly getting those things done, or they've had, it's something that you could upsell. I mean, does that sound like maybe something that you could work with that company to help them script it up? Then it would just be a matter of you increasing the number of calls that come in, but we would need to find out how many calls they're able to close. Like, what's their batting percentage? Are they at 50%?
That's a good, that's a good question for them too. I definitely need to double check that, because typically when I first hired them, they're like, "Yeah, we'll give you all of our missed and our solidified calls." And I was like, "Okay, sounds awesome." I haven't gotten any the list of missed yet, so I don't know their batting average.
All right. Well, it sounds like you just need to follow up with them, and I would talk with the owners. You know, they've seen a lot of people successfully. You know, it's just a matter of, it's almost like free consulting, and you know, you start off, you want to hear a little bit about their story and, you know, what they've been going through, and then, you know, for them, they've got customers, I'm sure, all around the United States, and it's like, hey, you know, is there anyone that you've just seen killing it? You know, it's like they're. And it may be, you know, some of those ideas that we talked about that, yeah, this guy's got a newsletter that people actually sign up for. Or he's got an extra referral system where we refer, you know, that paying customer to three other professionals that guy's going to need over the next 3 or 4 years, from contractors to, you know, I don't know, you know, those aerial photography guys.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting into that, but those things cost at least like $2,000 for a decent one, huh? For what do you want to call it? Not a UAV, but something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well.
But as far as just want to double tap on this, as far as finding people that are killing it, I think the biggest people that are killing it are the people, the franchises. They are typically franchises. That are number 1 through 5 on Google, so they have the money to market themselves up to that point, which is nice. And then they have more than one inspector, and they typically have more than 5-10 years of experience. So all that combined, I'm still, you know, in the bottom half.
All right. Well, it gives you a lot of room to move up still. And I still think that there is opportunity for a passive or a more laid-back income stream. I know I just went through.
And I would love to do that.
You know, there are just so many guys I think that are like me that don't even – I just had the carbon monoxide alarms go off in my house. I know do you check anything like that? Or I mean, I know that's more – who checks carbon monoxide? I'm curious.
We always do. It's a standard thing in North Carolina now. It actually just became a standard thing in August of last year that we're required to check carbon monoxide.
And I was so frustrated that the lack of information on the different carbon monoxide alarms. So, yeah. Kitty, yeah, you've got the ones with the numbers on them. You've got the ones that are plugged in. You got the ones that are straight battery. Then you have the ones with no numbering system on them. And then it's a matter of understanding the numbering system. Then it's placement of the carbon monoxide detectors. There's five to ten pieces of solid content for you right now. I'm gonna probably put out a video on it just simply as a public service announcement.
That's good. I'll steal it.
All right. All right. So John, man, you know, doing some great stuff and. You know, reach out to me or Tom if you want to set up we haven't had a one-on-one for a while, so would love to hear more about. I really love hearing you make this progress. I think the call center is a huge win, so congratulations on that. But I think that, you know, once we know the number of calls and their batting average, then it may be something. Hey, can you work with them to optimize that? Or if it's really low, but if it's really good, and if it's above industry average, then it's simply a matter of, hey, let's increase the number of incoming calls so that they can then, you know, effectively fill your plate.
I agree.
All right.
Yeah. I got a little bit of homework to do. I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead. And, Tom, did you have somebody else picked out?
No, that was a big thing, was going through everybody's, and I like the idea of hot seating one person at a time if we can, and what I'll do is I'd like to put out to the group here, if you guys are interested in taking the hot seat at some point in the future, I think we get the most value out of it when people are kind of prepared or want that. So I know some of you guys are in a situation where it would be useful to have, like, 20 or 30 minutes focused just on your business and what you guys are doing, and to have our community and our group here kind of help you break through whatever blocks or struggles you're working with. So that's what I'm going to pitch out to you guys on top of kind of the curriculum that we've already developed here. But I'll put that out to you guys via email. So if you guys want to step up to the plate and be the next hot seat kind of focal point for one of our next calls, that would be awesome. Other than that, I thought it was really useful. I'm glad to hear everybody's progress. I mean, I'm pretty impressed by this. That's only a few weeks into this, not even. And some of you guys are making some serious leaps already. So I'm excited to see where that goes in the next couple. But does anybody have any questions for me or Antonio?
I'm going through the comments here, and I see James is asking about New Media Expo. James, just send me an email, and I'm going to email Rick, because you're not the only one in that seat, you know, with Joe. Like I said, I've got a hotel right next to it. I'm going to have a big floor. I know Joe, I think, is already coming in and crashing, so we can get a pull out and get you set up there. I also, let me see, BJ. Yeah, BJ is referring to, I do that. So, John, I wasn't just making that up. I refer people all the time to my competitors, and I'll give you guys a story. I just made $8,000 because one of my competitors referred a customer, to an advertiser to me. And when it came down to it, this advertiser just wants good people to work with, and it was a win-win-win all the way around. And I feel indebted to my friend Aaron Marino, who many people again view as a competitor, but you know, he's like, they were on his channel, they came on my channel, it was a great service. And you know, that's, I think, the beautiful thing is when you start to build trust not only with your customers and potential leads, but with your peers, they start referring customers back to you, and that's when it gets really cool. So you see, David's talking about drinking some liquid confidence. Drank a little liquid coffee. I'll do some tea and coffee. Let me see. Now, check out that checklist that I sent you all. It's there. And if you didn't get it, email me. I'll send it to you. But it's a pretty detailed checklist of what goes into one post at one of my websites, A Tailored Suit, and everything that we look to do. My VAs created this, by the way. I started it, but they ended up perfecting it. So this is what they follow. Okay. I think that's it, Tom. I think unless someone's got someone to send a message, I think we've got, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
I think everyone's muted, or I'm opening it up. So, you know, good call. And we'll pick this up next week, right?
Awesome.
Oh, David said that the liquid courage was about why guys dance, or liquid confidence. But, all right, everyone take care. And, Tom, talk to you later. Talk to you later.
All right, take care, guys. Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.